Off the ball
on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
Yeah, welcome along. So, we're going to talk Ireland, Wales, more so Ireland. Keith Andrews is going to join us around 7:30. Dan McDonald is here in studio. Keith Wood and Matt Williams looking ahead to round two of the Heineken Champions Cup. And John Gonzalez joins us. He will preview the new NBA season, which gets underway. And he's on Sky Sports this year, so actually you'll potentially see a lot more of it than usual. 53106, the text number. We are at Off the Ball. Richie McCormack also here in studio.
Hello, Joe. Missed you last night. A lot.
And Dan McDonald, hello to you.
Hello. Why are you just letting that hang? I mean, it was a nice touching moment there.
Because he knows I don't mean it.
Oh yeah, okay, that's true. Yeah, down to Aviva, Joe.
Having the crack with all the lads. Loving the football.
So,
it's no sold that one as well.
I mean, where do you want to start on the Aviva? The performance, first of all, was certainly better than Saturday.
I thought it was better than Saturday. I guess the performance in isolation, you know, it was okay. But this is a game that Ireland really desperately needed to win against a Wales side shorn of their two best players and arguably their, you know, three of their best players from the team that smashed Ireland last month. And like, it's a home game on Ireland's patch, you know, where things are looking grim. And you're waiting for that big response. And there was a response of sorts. And there was, you know, they addressed some things from Saturday in terms of being a bit more positive and so on. But still, like, we still ended up, you know, there was parallels with last November in the second half, really, of, you know, there was a desperation about going for things, which ended up being sort of somewhat chaotic, really. You know, that it was... there was an element of, well, let's just throw strikers at the problem here. And I know that's the kind of thing that we would roar for, you know, if substitutions hadn't been made, you know, to just throw on an extra striker and stuff like that. But did that game give you the confidence necessarily that, right, that game is going to be a platform to the next game? You know, that game is part of a sequence, it's part of a graph, it's part of some form of progression. No, it was, you know, a sort of an Ireland squad very reasonably well matched with the opposition. The opposition were a bit younger, which has a certain image and a look that comes with that. And again, that's a problem that does go far beyond Martin O'Neill, and I would make that point consistently.
Yeah.
So it was more encouraging than Saturday, but Saturday was the least encouraging Ireland game in some time. Well, than the one the previous month. So it's a sort of low bar to set. So I don't think you can walk away from it feeling like hugely enthused about where things are going to pan out over the next year. We sort of limped through this window, taking 1 point from six, and not feeling really that much better about ourselves. So I'm not sure if that could be qualified as a success, really, in any judgment of it.
Yeah, it's very hard to argue with all that, really. I mean, it didn't, by the same token, feel like a crisis performance either. It didn't feel like. Certainly the players hadn't ditched the manager, wasn't that?
I don't think it's ever happened with an Irish team ever. Has an Irish team ever ditched the manager?
Maybe not. But equally, it was better than Saturday in terms of organisation. There was an effort to keep the ball, for sure, and they really tried that. And I mean, the failings of the players did emerge as well. You know, you're kind of watching it and you're thinking, well,
I think they can't do better?
I don't know, actually. I'm starting to really wonder. I really am. I think we're in a bad place.
Like, I just think that, as I said, I don't like this cycle in Irish football of it's just been the manager and then the manager and the manager and the manager. So I hate sort of going down that route again and again, and it's not good. But at the same time, you know, there were points made in the aftermath of Saturday. I think Kenny Cunningham was in here. You know, speaking about, for one, say, retaining Harry Arthur as that, like, most offensive, that shield, that defensive midfielder when he doesn't have the discipline to do it. Bang. You know, that was retained, and that cost Ireland last night.
Yeah.
We had the Cyrus Christie situation in the centre of the park, which I still think in a couple of years' time we will look back at it and think how that happened.
Well, what was so striking for so much of the game, especially the first half, where there was a real effort to keep the ball. I mean, the second half obviously descended into a bit of chaos, which is maybe our best chance of scoring, because if the game sticks along normal professional patterns, we get outplayed. But Christie in particular, and I mean, it's not his fault.
No, he actually sort of did okay within his own sphere, you know, but in terms of what he could do. He was exposed.
But when the ball was passed into him, he in particular did not even think once about turning on the ball. No. Every time it was straight back to Duffy, thanks very much, it's going right back to
you. That was the pattern for the last two games.
Hendrick and Arder were not much better. Actually, the best player on the pitch, from an Irish point of view, was Callum Robinson.
Hendrick was a bit more comfortable with the game ahead of him. You mentioned it a couple of times already, that they were more willing to pass the ball around, and that was evident as well against Denmark. But it seemed as if the notion of passing the ball around had been brought to the players. They were implementing it on the pitch, but literally that's all. It was pass the ball around just once you find each other. There's no idea of how to turn those passes into something creative. And that was very evident over the course of the last 180 minutes, that there's no plan in place of how to turn ball possession into something more threatening for the opposition.
Yeah. And the problem is that it's 11 months since Denmark. So, you know, after Denmark, there was an acceptance that players would retire. There was an acceptance that we were going to head into a period of, you know, evolution or transition or whatever you want to call it, at the same time checked by the reality that, like, Ireland still really need to qualify for the next tournament. So that's always going to be put certain limitations on that. But, you know, after sort of, what, three friendlies and then, you know, two Nations League games and another friendly in Poland, so like the seventh game on from that, we're still having these discussions about how are Ireland going to find their way to score a goal, and almost saying, well, what have we learned? Isn't that great that we've learned something from Saturday, that we improved things from Saturday? But Saturday was 11 months after Denmark last year.
The most compelling case you can make against O'Neill is the stretch since Vienna, actually, which is November 2016.
Yeah, that was up there.
Since that night in Vienna, now this comes in the back of obviously the Germany win, the playoffs against Bosnia, the Italy match in Lille, all of that good stuff, the big results that he does manage to conjure up, despite not talking to the players. It seems like, you know, Christie being an example this week about where he's going to play in midfield until to get to the stadium. Despite the really quirky Brian Clough-esque methods, he still does have an innate ability to get results against big teams, which not every Irish manager has had, even if they're doing things the right way.
He's given Ireland some of the biggest results of recent 30 years. That will stand in the test of time.
I agree. However, since Vienna 2016, we've played 11 competitive matches. I don't count friendlies. I don't care if we win them, lose them, draw them. I don't count them.
Okay, that's fair.
But since Vienna, we've played 11 competitive matches. And we've only won two. Moldova 2-0 and Wales 1-0 in Cardiff, which frankly was a backs to the wall mad kind of game, and they've beaten us twice since. So that's 2 years now we're into of a bit of a rot competitively.
And I haven't done that particular stat, but I'm trying to think of how many home goals there's been in that time. Obviously the Moldova win would bump that up, but beyond that, it's sort of a late goal against Austria with the John Walters after the hit and hope.
Yeah.
And beyond that, we've had a blank of the last three home games in the Aviva have been a blank, you know. So, no, sorry, the Shane Duffy goal at the start of the Denmark game, sort of forgotten in time. But yeah, it's not great. And it's just the way things go sometimes, that you're into a third campaign and just something goes stale. It just so happens that you need a change. It's not to completely diminish what was done before. It's not to diminish the good results that were achieved at the time. That method at that time achieved a certain type, you know, it achieved results. Maybe it was a contrast from what was there before, where it was very rigid under Trapp. Maybe it was a small bit looser in terms of the players. Their weeks weren't as heavily structured. Maybe that, you know, and to be fair, at that point it seemed, you know, pretty decent sort of morale. I think the morale is still decent, but, you know, we've had a bit of grief in the last couple of months. So sometimes you just need a fresh voice. And that's it. It may not, when you have sort of what is a limited pool of players, and I think that is a fair point.
Yeah.
And I think we can argue over whether they can do better. But sometimes when you have a limited pool of players, there is a sense that you just have to, it's like a mid-table team in the Championship or the Premier League. They're going along, but how do you try and improve or evolve? You try and just try a different voice. You try a different way and see, well, actually, let's answer the question. Can we answer the question if someone could do with those players? You know, if someone could do better with those players. And that's just the cycle of football. Like, what's the shelf life for managers sort of below the great dynasties that we speak of? You know, it's two or three club seasons, maybe 18 months for club season in international football. That's maybe two campaigns. But it comes to a point where it's just not working anymore. Maybe the players need to hear a different voice. Maybe the players don't need to be told they're not that good anymore all the time. You know, and these are the elements of the equation that have to be considered now.
Yeah. We're now reaching a point where every Irish manager, if you take Trapattoni and O'Neill, starts full of enthusiasm, and then by the end they just have to try to defend themselves and state facts that, well, I don't have a Robbie Keane anymore. And Trapp has to say, well, the players aren't very good. It's like they're backed into that corner after the first few years.
Yeah, well, Trapp's final press conference is certainly his final sort of stretch. I do remember him, one of his lines was, OK, bring another manager in here now and tell me, you know, three different players he'll pick, you know, or words to that effect.
And to be fair, Wes Hoolihan and Seamus Coleman could rightly be thrown out.
Well, Coleman was in the side at that stage. There was maybe Wes, and actually, ironically, like, O'Neill brought back Darren Murphy and a couple of people. And I don't think it must be said that during the O'Neill era, we've been having these, with the exception of since Wes has left, you know, in the last year, there hasn't necessarily been a huge debate over, I can't believe he's not picking him. We've had it with Matt Doherty recently.
Yeah.
But there hasn't necessarily been that when there's a squad announcement named, oh, I can't believe that they're not in it, that he's not in it.
I think O'Neill has been far more willing to try players than Trapattoni was, to his credit.
Yeah, I think he's shuffled the deck a lot more. But I guess what we've seen, though, in the last couple of games is that they probably haven't done enough to convince him that they're trustworthy.
We'll start the news round, because the first story is obviously some of O'Neill's reaction last night. There's text coming in. Please stop looking for positives. There were none, says Will in Kilkenny. I thought Callum Robinson was one for sure. Hi, lads. Any decent manager makes a team better than the sum of their parts. Not something O'Neill has done since Euro 2016, says Paul in Mullingar, going to game for 35 years.
It's 5 goals in 8 home competitive games, by the way, since Euro 2016.
Yeah.
5 goals.
And is it any wonder people are a bit beaten then? Because predominantly most people go to home games. Or, I mean, I know, no, I'm saying everyone, a lot of people just watch it on TV, but you know what I mean. Like, that doesn't build a good vibe around the team if the home games are becoming, you know, they're grim experiences. And the irony is, that was a big talking point when O'Neill was hired. Like, that had been, like, Aviva hadn't had a memorable night at all, and then there was Germany and Bosnia, two back-to-back in a month. So he achieved that. He almost got to that level, and it's just dropped back from that.
The news round is brought to you this evening with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 products. And O'Neill was speaking last night, Richie.
He was indeed, and he's adamant that the Republic of Ireland can still qualify for Euro 2020. Ireland facing the prospect of being third seeds for the December draw for the qualifying groups, with relegation to Nations League C looking likely after last night's 1-0 loss to Wales. That relegation could be confirmed next month unless they and Wales register wins over Denmark. Regardless of seeding prospects, O'Neill is certain that Ireland will be at a tournament that they are co-hosting.
I genuinely do. Despite the fact Craig mentions about some players coming back, we need some of the major players to come back in the side. Fine. Hopefully that will happen. Certainly, maybe happen for the qualification group when it starts. But I also think that some of the younger lads here, these are big matches for them to have played in, big games. They go back to the club now. And some of them will play, hopefully, will now take that on board, try and improve their game at club level and be ready again.
His captain for the week feels a change, calls for a change in management are premature. Richard Keogh believes O'Neill, Keane and co. need to be given time to rebuild the senior side.
He doesn't need me to say that. He's proven. I think if you actually look at his managerial career, he's had a pretty good one, I'd say. So, listen, obviously, managers are experienced enough to know football, and but listen, I think he's been great for me personally, so I can only speak on behalf of me and a lot of them lads who have been together a long time, and we've enjoyed it, you know, over the last 5 years we've loved it, and listen, it's a bit of a rebuild mode, but I think if you ask the manager, he's still loving it, and I think you can see tonight in our performance that we're all going to the end, and we're all together, and I think that's the most important thing.
See, it has to be it's a 3D conversation here. So let's all agree for a second, and say everybody agrees for a second, it's gone a bit stale, and we should rip the plaster before the Euros start. Okay, let's say everyone's on that page. Grand. then you have to bring in the reality of the situation. So point number one, O'Neill's on 1.9 million a year, plus Keane is probably on the guts of another half a million, give or take. I'm not sure actually what Keane's on. Maybe he's not quite in that much. But say we're talking 2 million plus per year, certainly.
Conservative, yeah.
Conservative.
Between the two, and then you've got the backroom team as well.
So you have to pay off the backroom team, you have to pay off O'Neill. He's got a contract until the end of 2020.
Until Ireland's, it would be related to Ireland's Euro 2020 qualifying bid, I would have thought.
So the end of qualification, yeah. Euro 2020, grant. So one, you've got to pay that, you've got to make that payment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not cheap.
No.
Then two, you have to decide, well, what's our budget? Ryan Giggs is doing the job for 400 grand. Are we going to pay 2 million a year to a manager again? Is that the best use of money for Irish football?
Well, I mean, it's absolutely not the case.
Okay, yeah. So then let's say we...
Well, then you have to say to the next guy...
Well, as I said, that's the thing. You're in negotiations.
Yeah, I'm going to pay you 25% of your predecessor, but we want you to solve the problem that we may be in now.
And the FAI are on the record as saying, post Dennis O'Brien, they can still afford to pay O'Neill's wages. We can pay for them ourselves. So the next manager, when he sits down with negotiations with the FAI, will have that. He can print it off the Irish Independent website and can give it over and he can say, you said you have this money. Why am I worth half, less than half of what Martin O'Neill is worth?
Yeah.
So let's say for a second, we sit around the FAI table and we say, ugh, this is a bit tricky for us. We're going to have to bring down this wage bill over time. But to get someone in the short term, let's say 1 million. We might get 1 million given we've given O'Neill 2 million.
Throw in a bonus even if they qualify.
All the bonuses you want.
Was it 12 million for the last Euros or something? You know.
So then who are we getting? Who are we getting for 1 million a year? 800,000 to 1 million a year. Who's out there? Really?
Well, I mean, you see, there's two angles to the job, right? Unfortunately, Ireland needs to qualify for the next tournament. So this isn't necessarily the four-year plan type appointment that you're looking for. I don't see them going down that road with their next appointment. It could be the one after that. It could be for the 2022 campaign when a lot of these teenagers are sort of quite excited about now because we need something to clutch on to. The under-19s beat Holland yesterday. When they're sort of coming towards adulthood in a sort of a football sense, and you think, okay, 2022, it's hard to qualify for a World Cup. Maybe that becomes part of a four-year thing. But the next one, you just think who comes in and can help you qualify for the tournament. And of course, they're going to go to someone like Mick McCarthy. That's absolutely what they would do.
I would have thought so too.
He's out of work at the moment. He knows the terrain, has international football experience. And
he's probably not looking for a long-term gig.
Exactly. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's the case. Possibly not, no. And the prospect of being Ireland manager, you know, at a tournament where it would be partially played in Dublin is like hugely attractive.
I think the chances of the FAI getting rid of the management team now, paying them off, and the cost then of hiring a new manager is close to zero.
Very slim, yeah. Very, very, very slim.
Yeah. I don't think he's in any trouble here. I mean, it'd have to be a 4-5-0 demolition in Copenhagen and some more bad vibes about the squad for that to become a possibility.
Yeah, but I even wonder about that. I mean, there's a home friendly with Northern Ireland next month, which probably is a pretty crappy friendly from the current management team's perspective, just because there's a certain symbolism or there's a certain story that could be written around that game that wouldn't be wouldn't reflect well, you know, if Northern Ireland come to town, and you definitely can't play the resources argument there.
It will also be a week where there'll be full of stories about the meth. You know, the kind of attention to detail that Michael O'Neill
does.
O'Neill,
you know,
he names the squad early in the week. They work in shape all week versus whatever we do.
Yeah. So, I do agree with your point. I don't see what is the drive for that change if we think that a change would happen if Ireland had been turned over heavily in one of the previous two games. Would something have happened to drive the debate even more so? Possibly, but I'm wondering, am I even convinced by that? I think Martin O'Neill has a real strong conviction in his ability to do the job. And I mean, I know it's a sort of a line now. Here he goes. He's goes on about Forrest and he's going on about all this stuff again. But I guess those experiences do give you that confidence. And I think if he's sat in a room with the FAI board, I'd imagine he'd be a strong voice in that room.
Yeah. I would too. What else is going on, Richie?
Last year's beaten finalists, UCD Waves, making their trip to Ferry-Carry Park tonight in the FAI Women's Cup semi-finals. They face hosts Wexford. Meanwhile, there's a Dublin derby at Talca Park, where Shelburne take on Piemont United. In rugby, Toulouse will be without a pair of key players for Sunday's Heineken Champions Cup meeting with Leinster. Jerome Kino has been banned for 5 weeks and prop Lucas Pointu for 4 after both faced a disciplinary panel in Paris today. Former All Black number 8 Kino receives his ban for striking Bath's Jamie Roberts in their Pool 1 encounter at the Rec last Saturday, while Pointu was found to have headbutted Nathan Catt. Liverpool today confirmed that Sadio Mane has undergone successful surgery on a hand injury. The club's forwards suffered a suspected broken thumb while training with Senegal last week. Liverpool haven't ruled Mane out of Saturday's Premier League trip to Huddersfield just yet, but the international break has taken its toll on Jurgen Klopp's squad, with Mo Salah, Naby Keita and Virgil van Dijk also returning injured to Melwood. There's contrasting news for the country's two biggest clubs on the financial front today. Dundalk have been able to secure the services of midfielder John Mountney for another 2 years. 25-year-old is the SSE Airtricity Premier Division's joint longest serving player, having joined from Mervy United back in 2012. But Cork manager John Caulfield faces the prospect of trimming his squad for the 2019 season. The Leasiders have been forced to cut €300,000 from their playing budget. Caulfield insists he can work within the new financial constraints at Turner's Cross, partially brought on by their failure to progress in Europe. While Brian Dorion will take charge of Sligo Rovers for their remaining 3 games of the SSE Airtricity Premier Division season, the club's under-19 boss will take charge at the showgrounds after Ger Little was relieved of his duties last night. Dorian will manage the club in games with Dundalk, Bohemians and Shamrock Rovers.
Bring back Mick, a championship manager for championship players, says PK. Could be Pat Kenny, I'm not too sure. Lads, up to this season, I would have agreed with the sentiment that it's not the coach and we don't have the players differently. But then you watch Leeds and Bielsa and the same players are playing exceptional football. It can be done. Yeah.
I think the problem is that, you know, we're in a tight deadline now, in the sense that after November, so that game in Aarhus, which is November 19th, Ireland's next matches after that will be, depending on the size of the European qualifying group, but certainly in March there will be a competitive game,
yeah.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
So, again, it comes back to the decision that was made last October, November into January in terms of the eventual signing of the contract. Like, there was a whole long period for a rebuild and a commitment to a different style and whatever, that if you're going to think about making a change now, then you're after wasting that entire year. Mm. So that is the problem. And that leads you to think that if there was some kind of change, then it would have to be someone who's a bit more of a quick fix, Mick McCarthy style merchant, rather than the project.
Well, I think even long term. So look, if Bielsa was available, or if Pep Guardiola wants to do the job, I won't stand in his way. No, for sure. And but I like
pretty open minded of
Roberto
you.
Martinez type, that kind of approach, a more football playing type approach. Like, I look at the players we have, and if we just want results, then we should be going down the Sam Allardyce route. I'm deadly serious. A Sam Allardyce or a Tony Pulis, because they would arrive at the club.
But which player? It depends what players you pick, though, doesn't it?
Well, what players do we have really that at international level could play the type of football that Martinez might play? Like, really, really?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of backing up O'Neill's point here in terms of it depends on who's available. But, you know, if you had a Robbie
Brady... Everyone's available.
If you had a Robbie Brady in the side, a particular type of manager, rather than just going who's playing in the Premier League, you know, they will say, well, if I want the team to play a particular way, then I'm going to play a particular type of midfielder, someone like a Sean Williams in that role, to get the team playing in a certain system. Like, if you want to commit to the system or a style of play, you find players that can actually are suited to that. You know, you can play Brady, have James McCarthy back, he's a decent enough player. Martin Martinez loved him. I'm bringing him up because you bet the Martinez line
very
there.
Protectable.
You got Matt Doherty, who's playing in a technical style at Wolves. Yeah.
So keep going.
Give us our
technical team.
You're telling me you have no footballers at all.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you so far. Keep going, though.
But I'm thinking of what Stephen Kenny was saying recently. Like, he would pick someone like Patrick McElhenney. And so, people say, well, I didn't do well in Oldham. He says it's irrelevant. It's a completely different style of football.
Yeah.
It's lower league sort of football. if you want to play a particular style, I'm just following up your point.
You're starting to convince me.
You'd swear that, like, you know, the Irish nation is condemned by this horrible sort of leaden-footed ability that we're just toe-bogging the ball the whole time everywhere. Like, there are people we know and people that play football at a good level that are technically talented players. It's just a matter of whether they've ascended to the top of the English ladder in such a way that we consider them suitable for inclusion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, someone like Alan Judge, when he was in his pomp at Brentford, very tactical player. They do exist. I'm not just saying just throw them all in there. Of course I'm not saying that. I just don't think that it's as straightforward as thinking, well, we can only get results with a particular type of manager playing a different way. We've never really tried the other way. So when we haven't really tried the other way, there's always a natural fear and suspicion of it.
Yeah, fair point.
So you can give it a bash, Joe.
Listen,
2022, Qatar, do we really want to go there anyway? I mean, you know, you watch some of the Irish underage teams. I've gone to watch them in recent weeks. Again, you know, the players that can play, you know, so they do exist. They are out there. As I said, they don't always clamber to the top of the English tree, and I'd be a big believer of looking outside the English system to rate our players for us. I think we need to take a different approach.
Yeah, fair point. Rich?
Beating an All-Ireland finalist, Cork have been compensated with 6 places on the Borgosh Energy Under-21 Hurling Team of the Year. Goalkeeper Ger Collins, defenders Niall O'Leary and Billy Hennessy, midfielder Mark Coleman and forwards Tim O'Mahony and Robbie Flynn all make the cut. All-Ireland champs Tip have 5 players in that team, while beaten semi-finalists Wexford and Galway each have 2. Tip pair Ger Brown and Jake Morris have been shortlisted for Player of the Year, along with Galway's Fintan Burke and Cork's Mark Coleman. Another emerging young Kerry footballer has been tempted by the bright lights of the AFL. Munster Under-20 Player of the Year Stefan Ockenbohr is to join Geelong Cats on a 2-year rookie contract. Ockenbohr was a member of Jack O'Connor's under-20 Kerry side this year, where he had transitioned from midfield to full-back and was viewed as a very real prospect for the Kerry senior side in the coming years. Well, interesting story developed this afternoon. The future of Down Royal Racecourse appears uncertain. The organisers of racing at the course today announced that they're preparing for closure at the end of the year because of a dispute over the track's future management. But Down Royal's current side has been hosting racing since the 17th century, and Chairman Jim Nicholson says they'll now seek another site to host the 12 meetings that they've been allocated for 2019. However, Merrion Group, who own the current site, have stressed their intention to continue racing at Down Royal beyond January the 1st.
Okay, that's your news round done for this evening. Just before we go to Keith Andrews, I'm sure you caught Ronan O'Gara and Brian O'Driscoll and Keith Wood in Limerick, and it was a brilliant night. We have another roadshow coming up because the All Blacks are coming to town next month, and we'll be talking about that at our next Off the Ball Roadshow in association with Heineken Rugby Club. So it's going to be at the Olympia Theatre in Dublin, one of our favourite venues for sure, live on Tuesday, November the 13th. So Tuesday, November 13th, and we'll have an all-star lineup of Ireland and All Blacks legends who we'll reveal in the next few days. So you can get your tickets now. Trust us, there'll be good names. Offtheball.com/events, and you can get your tickets there. The latest Off the Ball Roadshow in association with Heineken Rugby Club. And remember, it's an over 18s event only. Visit drinkaware.ie. Talking to Keith next.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.